This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Why are you here? Why are you here on the earth? Nowhere else to go. No. Why are you here on earth? How did you get here? Better ask my mom and dad about that. Now what we're trying to find out, what is your purpose for being here? Oh, yeah, well, another 5 years, I'll get my Social Security. Not that. How did you get here? What is your purpose in life? You'd be surprised how many people never really thought about it, or if they did, they just kind of shrugged it off and leave it, because they didn't know. Then some will be wise guys, like I was playing games just now, they'll do something like that. Their purpose is to get drunk, or to get high, or to chase after the girls. Or things that we don't even want to talk about. But they think that's their purpose. Then there are those who don't know. There are some that don't believe in God at all. Not even a little bit. They don't want to believe. You know what's sad about that? In the exact same countries and places on this earth where atheism is prevalent, where you find people who don't believe in God, are the exact same places exactly where they have the highest suicide rate. How many of you knew that? Anybody ever been to Sweden? When I went to Sweden, the first thing they told me when I got there, this is on a tour, right? And they're very proud of their country. They said, you know, our country is made up of small islands connected by bridges. And another thing about our country that's really neat is that we have this social system that if you don't have a job, you still make the same kind of money. And they said we were the last ones to accept Christianity and the first ones to leave it. That's what they said. And I was thinking, you know what? I don't promote Christianity anymore. I don't. Well, I'm a Muslim. But at the same time, I didn't want to hear that. I really didn't. Because if somebody's not going to be a Muslim, at least be a Christian. That's the closest to us. That's what Allah said. The closest to us that you will find are those who stand and cry to Allah in the night and they say they are what? Christians. While we were there in Sweden, we were standing on a bridge. I was taking some pictures for our television show. And the brother was with me. He said, by the way, Chef, do you know what this bridge is famous for? I said, I have no idea. He said, people jumping off and killing themselves. I said, what? Let me see. And I got up, I looked over the edge, and looked down. I said, there's a road down there. It's not a water. There's a bridge. You know, this is a bridge over a highway. He said, yeah, if that doesn't kill you, a truck will. I'm not joking. That's what he said. We were in Stockholm. Malmo. That was in Malmo. It's not really funny. I'm trying to make something easy to talk about. Death is not something pleasant for a lot of folks, you know. Especially when somebody takes their own life. So I want to know why. Why would somebody do that? I mean, maybe I can understand if somebody's in a tremendous amount of pain, they just got run over by a truck, their legs are all crumbled up, and they're feeling a lot of pain, they want to end it. Maybe, I don't know. But how about a young man or a young woman, maybe 18, 21, 24, 5, something like this. Their whole life in front of them. They've got eyes that they can see. There are blind people who would love to be able to see, and they can see. They got ears to hear. There are deaf people who would love to be able to hear. They can walk. They've got legs. They've got a good mind. Why would a person like that kill themselves? And it came to me that in the places where they have the least faith in the law, they have the most suicides. So I began to talk to the people there in Sweden, and I told them, I said, you know what, you got a lot of good things in your country, no doubt about it. But one thing you guys need, you need to believe in something and stop killing yourselves. Now, I don't want to stay on that too long because that's not really our topic. I'm talking about a purpose of life. But you see, it looks like that those people who did that is because they gave up. The things that they wanted most in life, like maybe they're in love with somebody, maybe they have a job that they like, maybe they have some education they're working on. I recall in one university, they had a big clock tower. They shut it down because I wanted to go up there and look around. They said, it's not permitted anymore. I said, why? They said, because after the report cards come out, many of the students would crawl up to the clock tower and jump out and kill themselves because they had failed and they didn't want to go back and show their parents. Their parents wasted the money. That's too much. In other words, when you don't see what you want in this life, you just end it, you finish it. For a Muslim, or a Christian for that matter, or a Jew, we would never really imagine how somebody would want to kill themselves. Because those are the people that are never going to get out of hellfire. Ever. Killing yourself? What is our purpose to be here? From the Muslim perspective, we find the answer in the Quran. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I only created you guys for one purpose, ibadah. Ibadah Allah, to worship Allah alone without any partners. That's your purpose. If you achieve that, you're successful. If you blow it, it doesn't matter what else you do in your life, you have failed. To understand the first commandment that comes to Moses in Exodus and in Deuteronomy is to understand Islam. The quote from what exists in the English Bible today says something like this, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt in the house of bondage. And you know no God beside me. Thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. Notice that it's in the negative first. Thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. The next commandment is also in the negative. Thou shalt not make unto Allah any graven image of anything that creeps on the earth, swims in the sea beneath, or flies in the sky above. In other words, don't worship anything but Allah. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. So you got three negatives before you get to a positive. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath, Saturday, and keep it holy. Wow. What's the number one commandment in Islam? Starts negative. Does it start negative? La. That's negative, isn't it? La. What does la mean? Tell you how to find out. If you're not Arab, all you got to do is go to the house of an Arabic family. And you're going to find out this word real fast. Yeah, just as the children are playing around, breaking stuff, and the mother is chasing, la, la. La, 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 la. Now you know. La ilaha. There is no God. Remember, ilah means God. La ilaha illa, except Allah. There is no God. There's no deity worthy to be worshipped illa Allah, except for Allah. It makes sense? Yeah. The purpose of life for the Muslim, not only is it spelled out real clear in this statement, it's also spelled out how to do it. It's not just Allah said, go try to figure it out. No, it's all right there. Everything is there for you. Islam also teaches us the purpose of life and how to get married. One of the things the Prophet ﷺ taught us, as soon as your children grow up enough, they're old enough to get married, you get them married. Oh, there's one we forgot about. Well, they need to get their BA, okay? And then there's the master's degree, and they need a PhD. They need their degrees, you know. How many of you in here have fallen for that one? Huh? Be honest, come on, man. Yeah, I thought so. I'll put it this way. How many of you have been influenced one way or the other by that from somewhere in your family? Now raise your hand. Yeah, there we go. It's tough. You want to get married? Parents say, no, you better get another degree. How many of you would like to know the secret on how to get real degrees the easy way? Real degrees the easy way. Like to know how? I'm going to reveal it to you now. Ready? Go to the local pharmacy and buy a thermometer. It's loaded with degrees. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he wanted us to get the kiddos married right away. You know what that does? That helps a lot. It helps a lot. You don't have that problem anymore of these guys standing on the street corner, you know, 20 years old, still not married, still got all these degrees to go. He's standing there and he's going, hey, check that out. Now, Ali radiallahu anhu told us, if I'm not making a mistake, I believe that he told us that Muslims are allowed one look. You can get one look because you need to know. You can't just walk in and bump into people. So you can look up, you know, okay, that's a woman over there. Because Allah told us in Quran, tell the believing men, lower their gaze and guard their private parts. So one day we're standing there, right? Some of us, you know, and all of a sudden one of the brothers, he's going, and we go, Abdullah, what are you doing? He said, don't bother me, I didn't blink yet. One look. Uh-huh. Let him get married. Come on, that's what Islam is about. It's not just saying, wow, that's a sunnah. No, that's what it means. That's what you're supposed to do. That's your purpose. Say, well, my kids will never get rich and be able to give me that big house that I need. Oh, okay. Is that the one that you're buying on credit with a riba attached to it that you got a fatwa for? Okay. Whoops. Whoops. Yeah, right. The more you break the commandments of Allah, the more you're not really serving your purpose anymore. I want to ask you a question. You know what that is? It's a ballpoint pen. Somebody comes up to you, you got a pen. He says, can I borrow your pen? Happens all the time, right? Can I borrow your pen? Yeah, okay. And you stand there and you wait. Why do you wait? I want my pen back. All right? That's my pen. I need this nice pen. Writes real nice. Got a good grip on it. It's a good pen. But what happens the minute that you try to write with that pen and no ink is coming out anymore? End of story. You're done, right? Because it no longer serves its purpose, right? Now remember, Allah doesn't even need you as much as you need that pen. How about if you don't perform your duty? What if you don't serve your purpose? Allah have no problem dealing with you. So it's very imperative. I'm talking to the Muslims. It's imperative that once Allah has guided you to Islam and you understand what it means, don't turn your back on it and don't play the yes but game. I'm going to wrap up this segment that we're doing right now to talk to you about the purpose of life from a different aspect. Probably you never heard any other Sheikh of Islam or anybody, Imam or Mufti or whatever you have, you probably never heard him say something like this. But keep in mind, I'm just from Texas. So somebody brand new to Islam, and I've been there. Some of you have been there too, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody brand new to Islam, you're all excited, you're reading the books about Islam. We do this, we do that, five pillars of actions and six beliefs that we do. And oh my God, I'm so excited, and we have the Quran, and it's wow, you know, you're really into it. Then you meet a Muslim and you go, you're a Muslim? Or even somebody will come up to you and go, are you a Muslim? And you go, yes. Assalamu alaikum. And you go, oh, you mean you're a Muslim? You've been working here in our company with us, right along with us, and we never knew you were a Muslim. No clue. Wow. Well, I'm brand new, so, where do you pray Jummah? I can go to the Jummah thing with you. Oh, well, I'm a Muslim, but I don't pray Jummah. Oh. Okay. Well, you've been working here quite a long time. I never saw you pray anything. Yeah, well, I'm a Muslim, but I don't do salat. I ain't got time. And you have to make wudu and everything, and you get wet, and you get stuff all over, and sometimes you can't find any water. You got to use sand. I don't want sand all over my clothes, so I don't know. But what about Ramadan? Isn't it Ramadan right about now? Yeah. So, why are you drinking that Pepsi? Oh, well, I'm a Muslim, but I don't. Yeah, maybe I'll get sick. You know, it's hot. This is hard times. What about the zakat? How do we calculate the zakat? I don't really know, brother. I never did pay it. I don't know. I'm a Muslim, but, you know. Well, what about Hajj? Did you make your Hajj yet? Hajj?
No, brother, it costs a lot of money to go for Hajj. And Allah doesn't want to make anything hard for me, you know. So.
Well, last year, you took off a whole month and flew to the United States, took your kids and your family to Disney World in Florida. What was you doing, making tawaf around Epcot Center?
Well, I'm a Muslim, but, that's a lot of...
You know, I might not get a visa, something like that, you know. Well, let me ask you another question, brother. Isn't it in Islam that you're supposed to let your beard grow? Isn't that what, there's a hadith, somebody told me it's a hadith, you have to let your beard grow? You're not supposed to cut it off? Isn't that what it says, Sahih Bukhari?
Well, brother, you know how it is. They might fire me or something. They're liable to, you know, I'm Muslim, but you can't expect me to, you know.
And what about, does that mean your wife is a Muslim too? Yeah. She don't wear a hijab.
Yeah, brother, but, you know, that's back then. And today, you know, it's, we're Muslim, but...
I got it. You're a Muslim, but... That's a start. Just need some legs, a body, some arms, a head, and you can be a whole Muslim, mashallah, instead of just a Muslim butt.
And basically that's the way a lot of us today are treating our deen. I hope, and I pray to Allah, that the words that were said here tonight will have a real impact on us, so that we can have a more positive tomorrow. Because that's the reason I came all the way here to New Zealand. Because that purpose of life is something that came to me very late in my life, but alhamdulillah, Allah gave it to me. I'm real thankful to Allah for the Muslim who took the time for 3 months to help me to better understand this complete way of fulfilling my purpose and duty to my Lord. I'm very thankful to Allah, and I'm very thankful to that person for being patient with me. I'm hoping that some here, all of them here, will pick up this same concept and go out and share this message with these people here, because I didn't find anybody on this planet that are any more deserving to know the truth about real Islam than these wonderful people right here in New Zealand. Am I right? But whose job is it to teach them? You're right here with me. Share that purpose.